Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Going on, guys. Welcome back to Strikeout Bros, episode 14. What's good, Lash? How you doing?
Good, man. We're halfway, almost there, man. 2 weeks is the All-Star break. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. This season went by so fast. I don't even know. It's a blink of an eye. And, you know, the woes. Of
the
course,
ups
I don't even.
And downs.
Yeah, I don't even think we're going to be able to go back up, you know, at this point. I'm scared, but it's okay. That's the season. That's how
well,
it works.
Well, the difference between you and the Orioles is that you've built a nice cushion. So, you're still right in the tight race with Philly. So, it's not the end of the world. But yeah. For Baltimore, it is the end of the world because they put themselves in the big hole being 11 under. That the first step is to get to 500. Second step is to get to at least two or three games out of the last wild card spot by the trade deadline, which is the end of the month. That's not going to happen. So it sucks, but hey, it's what it is. You know, every season is unpredictable, you know.
It really is. I mean, but it's okay, though, because, you know, like we said, it's going by so fast that you have plenty of time to figure it out. You can probably pick up a couple of pieces, get rid of a couple of pieces, and try to set yourself up for next year. Now, this is the type of situation where we're talking about this, really, it's late in the season, but you never know what can happen. This is something that you always say every week. And listen, I'm starting to become a firm believer in that. I've seen a lot of teams kind of turn over this past week, like Pittsburgh. You know, they went on a 6-game winning streak.
Yeah,
I believe they lost today. That was pretty crazy. I mean, I know for a fact because they swept the Mets, you know. Not that the Mets were anything to, you know, worry about at that point. But still, though, you know, winning. And, you know, they scored a lot of runs in those games, too. But we're going to get back to that. We're going to talk about, you know, the main topic today is we have to introduce this guy to the world. If you guys don't know him already, his name is Kyle Raleigh. He's a catcher for Seattle. And he's pretty amazing. He's doing things that we haven't seen in a long time, you know. And he's bats from both sides, which is crazy already, right? I can't remember any other catcher that comes to mind right now. Do you? That can actually bat from both sides and be productive?
The productive part, yes, but a switch hitting catcher, not too many. And also, he's really good behind the plate defensively.
Yes, he is. Defensively, he's pretty nice. But the topic around town right now is the fact that, you know, he's like leader in like RBIs. He's up there, you know, and 33 home runs, you know, that's crazy. Batting 268. Like he's on pace. He's on pace to hit at least 57 home runs, right? Let's see. And 40 home runs for a catcher is almost like, you know, unheard of. I'll give you some names, you know, which is pretty crazy. Johnny Bench. I remember him growing up. Cincinnati Reds. He hit 40 one year.
Piazza
hit twice. He did it twice. He did it in 97 and hit 99. So, you know what? At the end of the day.
What about Yadier Molina?
He's not up there, believe it or not. Right?
I just think of some great catchers.
No, yeah. Mike Piazza, he did it with the Dodgers, which is crazy, right? And then he came over and he did it with the Mets as well 2 years
Dodgers
later.
Dodgers the first.
He did it with the Dodgers first, which is crazy.
He went to LA after his tenure with the Mets.
No. He came from the Dodgers.
No, I know, but then near the end of his career, he went back to LA, like in the back half of his career. Washed up.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, to retire there, you know, like that kind of thing. You know, the same thing that McCutcheon did. You see how McCutcheon is like, he's a starter with Pittsburgh, which is crazy. They really aged out, but. Team. Yeah. That team is, you know.
What about Jason Veritek? He was another catcher I could think of.
Yo, that's I remember. Nah, these guys didn't. They never hit 40, which is crazy. Javi Lopez, Atlanta Braves, 2003. He hit 43 that year. 43. Todd Hundley, Met. Hundley, in 96, all right? He hit 41. Hundley was a big guy, you know? He was kind of like Piazza. Piazza was a big guy, too. And Salvador Perez. Kansas City Royals, 2021, 48 home runs. Okay,
I'm still shocked that Yadier Molina is not on there. Just because he played for such a long time, and he always had good numbers in the regular.
And he was
season.
A great catcher. I would love to have him. You know, in his
prime,
of course.
Pudge Rodriguez?
No, another one. No, I know it's crazy. I'm telling you, that's why.
About.
Of course, I do. You know,
wow, that's crazy. Anyway.
You see a lot of great catches, but you see how hard it is for those catches. You know, I mean, that's one of the hardest positions to play, though. You have to remember that. You know, like back in the day, you know, when baseball was, you know, something to really look at. Exactly. That's when the catcher, you know, he was in charge of pretty much everything. What was going over the plate, you know? Not anymore.
I always say the catcher is the quarterback in baseball.
Definitely.
Because. To be a catcher, you got to be able to catch all different types of pitchers, throws. Because, you know, everyone says, like, how many pitches you got to catch? It's only fastball, curveball, splitter, slider. You know, everyone has those pitches. Yes, everyone has those standard pitches, knuckleball. But it's the way, the motion of the way the pitcher throws it is what can deceive a catcher if he doesn't know how to catch it. And that's what makes a catcher great, you know.
Yeah. And
every pitcher is different. You know,
it's a tough job. Think about it. You have to learn how to catch everybody in there. So not only the starting rotation, you have to be able to catch the bullpen as well. Because, you know, everybody has their quirks and everybody has their thing, you know. You have to be able to be set up for that pitch. You know, it's kind of crazy. That's how hard that position is. I'm surprised that we don't have a lot more $300 million catchers out there, you know.
And it's harder now because, you know, back in the 90s and the early 2000s, guys didn't have, you know, they don't throw with gas. It was more controllability. So you just had to know idea where to control the ball. Now you got to worry about controllability and the speed because if a guy's throwing 100 miles per hour, think about it, that's 100 miles per hour is coming to your glove, the palm of your hand. And to be able to snatch that ball quickly because if you don't and you drop it, it's like a third strike, the ball could get loose or it gets ricocheted off
your and
glove.
And runners in score position, it's a problem.
Yeah, so it's a challenge. So I tip my hat off to him because Kyle Riley's been one of their best players in he's probably been their most consistent player in Seattle.
Definitely.
You know, so they need that. You know, they have a good pitching rotation.
And
they
guess what?
They have superstar bats. You know.
Yeah.
Julio Rodriguez. That's just about it.
Yeah, I mean they have stuff. You know, they need to build on it. They have a couple of pieces that they can work with, you know. Let's see what happens. But, you know, Kyle, he's going to be in the home run derby this year, which is kind of crazy, July 14th. So, and I think his dad is going to pitch to him. So, it's going to be interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, let's see what he does. And you know what's funny? Speaking of the home run derby, Mr. Alonso is not going to be there this year, which I like.
Which
I like.
Makes sense.
Yes, you know what?
He's done it. What's there to achieve? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's done it. He's won it. But you know what? I like that because, you know how they say that the derby messes with your mechanics, you know?
It does.
So, you know, it's been, you know, said multiple times by many different people. So I'm going to have to say that I'm happy to hear that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I always say the derby's the baseball curse of what Madden cover is to football. You know what I mean?
That's interesting that you say that. It's true. It happens.
The analogy. The difference is the Madden cover is not a physical curse where the hitting derby. Home run derby is, because think about it. These guys are hitting about, whoever wins, there's a good chance you could hit 60 plus home runs in one day. You know how hard that is? Just swing.
Yeah. It fucks with the mechanics.
And it messes up your mechanics. Your arm gets sore. I don't know about you, but, you know, I've gone to batting cage a couple of times, and I'll be sore.
Same here.
That hurts. Now, granted, I don't do it every day, so I'm going to be sore. It's like lifting weights. But to do it in that, and remember, they got to do that in a short amount of time, you know. So what is it, 2-minute rounds? I don't know how many rounds it is.
They switch up the rules all the time. I'm not even sure. I can't remember last year's rules because, they switched it up
like
a little bit.
5 minutes a round, right? So if you make it to the third round, the fourth round, I think it's like 3 rounds. The finals is 3 rounds. That's 5 minutes for stringing constantly straight. Yeah, you're going to be burned.
You're going to bring yourself up.
In my opinion, I think teams who are not in contention, they should be allowed to contend. If your team is in contention for the playoffs, your star player should not be allowed. If it's a guy that's not a main star on your team, fine, let him go. You know, if it's like, I don't know, if it's Beatty and he wants to do the home run derby, go ahead.
Yeah, who cares? Go to town, do it.
But if it's one of your star players, if it's Alonso, Soto, Lindor, Alvarez, whoever, don't let those guys participate, even if they want to, because you need them in the long run.
Yeah, I feel you. I totally agree with you. I always think that the player comes back second half and they're struggling. They can't figure it out. The mechanics are all fucked up. It's not a good look for them. So he'll be the eighth guy. He's going to be in the home run derby. He'll be the eighth Seattle Mariner to compete in this derby. And there's a lot of big names in this. Check it out. Ken Griffin. Yep. Julio Rodriguez. 2. Edgar Martinez. Alex Rodriguez. You got that. Brett Boone. Robinson Cano.
Robinson Cano, right? I forgot about him.
The biggest
thief I've ever met in baseball.
Well, there's a lot of them out there, but he's definitely a top five for sure. Top five.
What you should do one day on the show? Do a top five worst baseball contracts.
Wow. Yeah, we can do that next week. Yeah, come up with the list and we'll talk about it. We'll see how many teams
have
been robbed.
I already have one in mind. You're not going to like it. It's two of them. Both of them are Mets.
Well, of course.
Cespedes and Jason Bay.
Wow. Cespedes. Wow. But anyway, listen. Last time any Seattle Mariner won the Derby was in, Griffey did it a couple of times. He won it in 94, 98, 99, 93. And, remember when he was competing in that season, home run contest between McGuire and Sosa? And it's funny how he was the true, natural at hitting homers, because nobody ever mentioned Griffey in, a scandal like that, But McGuire and Sosa were both, involved in that, which is funny. And look at that. Look how many times he won the Derby. It shows you that, he was the truth, but so now we're going to get to the nitty gritty of the show. This is the part that I'm not going to like.
Not
so,
so fun.
Exactly. See, you understand exactly what I'm talking about, bro.
Because none of our teams have been fun at all lately.
It's not fun to watch. It's been really hard for me to watch baseball lately. I have to keep tabs on what's going on because of the show, obviously. But I'll give you a perfect example today. I was at work. I couldn't really watch because, the series, for some reason, it's all during the daytime. I don't know if they're trying to control the traffic between the Mets and the Yankees. They want to keep everybody, under the lights. I don't know. It's just weird. I don't know why they did it like that, because these games are great at night. You know what I'm saying? The battles, the Burrow, I don't know. It's just weird. But I'm glad we won. Listen, it was a battle.
It makes sense. I kind of liked it because I know why they did it. Most people have the holiday off, right? So they figured they could get a larger contingent of the crowd. If it was a regular Friday night and we had to work, well, you and I both work, but you know what I mean? If it was like a non-holiday, you're not going to get a lot of people. But because it's a holiday, they figured a lot more people. And they had to sell out a crowd, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, of course, for that event. Listen, more Yankee fans than Mets fans always for that type of event. They'll sell out the house. And, you
but
know, the
still, I can see why, you know.
Yeah, but today's July 4th, right? You would expect them to blast off some fireworks. It's funny because I was at the stadium last night and they did it last night.
Oh, really? They're doing it tonight in Atlanta.
Yeah, that makes sense, you know, because it's July 4th. I mean, if you're committed to coming to the game, why not enjoy the fireworks at the game? And it's not like they're bullshit fireworks either. You know, it's pretty, you know. It's a nice show. I'm not gonna lie to you.
It's not the county fair. The county, what is it called? The county fair fireworks. I call them.
Nah. It's a serious show. You know, the music. It's all in sync. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, or like the ones they give you after. You know how the ones they give you after the game wins. You know, like I know in Atlanta they do this in New York too. You know, when the Mets win, they shoot off fireworks. You know, like 4 or 5.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's an Atlanta tradition. I don't remember.
Oh, they don't do that in New York.
They do it sometimes. They try to get too flashy for me. You know, like, listen,
Atlanta
I don't
does
like
when
that.
They hit a home run.
A home run, yes, I know.
Or,
but,
you know, at the end, if they win.
We don't do that. That's a little bit too much for me, I think. I think it's a little bit overdone sometimes. Like, you know, we have the smoke when, you know, the game starts and everybody's coming out of the dugout. That's a little bit overdone, too. I don't like that too much.
And you got the apple.
Yeah, we have the apple, you know, but the apple's a tradition, you know. I love the apple. I'm not going to say anything about the apple. That's us. That's
no,
us.
I like
thing.
It too. It's great.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I like it. You know, it's a little cheesy for some people, right? But whatever, man. That's my team. I like the apple. The apple doesn't bother me. And the theatrics too, like when they pull an opposing pitcher, they go through the theatrics, the lights, you know, in the show. It's pretty cool. I like that too, you know. But listen, man. We just won our first series since May 23rd through the 25th against the Dodgers, bro. That's how long it's been. It's been 3 weeks since we've won a series, bro. That's how bad it's been to be a Mets fan. You know what I'm saying? How crazy is that? I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, I don't know if, in my opinion, it sounds like the starting pitching is running out of gas because some of them are getting hurt now. And that's what's... Besides Alonso, and because the thing that made the Mets great in the first 2 months was that both their pitching, all phases of their pitching, and Pete Alonso and a couple other guys were like
the main three.
Those are three main guys.
Yeah. Soto and Lindor and Alonso. Right, if those guys are hitting, then we're gonna be okay because everybody else is in. It's a contagious thing. You know how it is. You start hitting, I start hitting. Everybody starts hitting.
You feed off
those
each
three,
other.
Yeah. But when those three ain't hitting. The shit hits the fan really fast. And now, no pitching, no offense. How are we supposed to win games, man? We can't even score. Listen, I believe we were batting .217 with runners in scoring position. Like, what are you talking about? What's going on? We paid all this money for this team. Excuse me, not me, Mr. Cohen. I'm sorry. You know, but Mr. Cohen, listen, he finally got to the paper. He's like, you know, ebbs and flows. But this is ridiculous. This is not something now... Stearns has a serious problem on his hands. You know, now he has to try to figure out what he's going to do. We're at the time of the season where, you know, you make decisions like this, but we didn't think it was going to be that hard. And at first, you know, when we were winning, I figured, hey, we're not going to have to do too much. Maybe get rid of Tyrone Taylor, who is 1-for-23, okay? And his last 23 at-bats, he's produced one hit. Yeah, I understand he's Superman back then. He's catching balls left and right. My dad and I, we disagree because my dad's like, you know, listen, I understand he's not hitting, but, you know, with that defensive, you know, machine back there, he's pretty crazy with it, you know. I'm not going to lie, but if you're not hitting, can't play on this team.
Yeah, no, it's, what I was going to say. Yeah, it's just the thing with the Mets, they need the other guys to help out. You need you need the bottom of the lineup to produce, and that's not happening.
Yeah, when you have an automatic out in Taylor, that's not going to happen.
Taylor, what's his name? Taylor, Beatty's automatic out, in my opinion.
McNeil, I mean, he's streaky. He had a home run today.
I know, but he's streaky. McNeil's streaky. Nimmo's consistent, but can be streaky at times.
He's more consistent than all. You know, listen, I don't have any complaints about Nimmo.
No.
He goes out there every day. He plays hard every day. And he's been hitting a lot of home runs lately. And he's been doing something that you know, everybody else can't pull off right now, you know? So he's been doing his thing. He's electric right now, and I look forward to seeing him, you know, continue to do his thing. He's one of the most consistent Mets I've ever seen, you know, like, since I've been a fan.
Yeah.
Everyday player, you know? Everyday player.
Yeah, but you...
If anyone...
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. If anyone should be the captain, it should be Nemo. Lineup. Yeah, the bottom definitely. Of the lineup, you know, if Nemo's Lindo the wasn't captain. There, no, I don't Lindo care. I don't there, care. Nemo's the captain in my eyes.
Yeah, because he's the true definition of a captain. Someone comes, works hard, puts his head down, brings his lunch pail, and doesn't complain and just
exactly. performs. And isn't it involved in a lot of bullshit? You know what I'm saying? You see Lindor's always smiling. You see Lindor always in the huddle. He's always in the drama. Nemo's a quiet dude, you know what I'm saying? Nemo's like a serious. I love those guys. He's a serious
dude. He's like Jeter in the sense of the way he carries himself, you know. He's quiet.
Definitely. I agree.
He's like Piazza was like that too, you know, quiet, kept him to himself, performed, you know, didn't make a lot of noise other than with his bat, you know.
Exactly.
And
I love that.
That's what you need in a captain. He's not flashy. And
lead by example.
Yeah. You know, Alonzo's kind of like that. Alonzo's quiet. You know, he has his moments.
He is, but he's a head case,
he's
though.
Nerdy.
He's a head
That's
case.
That's why no one likes him. He's
no.
Nah,
I don't consider him nerdy. You know? I think he's a head case. I think that he's having conversations while he's in the batter's box, and he's getting too deep in his, you know, his head, and I think he just needs to relax and focus on the ball. And I think that McNeil is another player that's very like. Neurotic when he's at the batter's box. I can't explain it to you. Like he's like you just see him in his eyes. He's like lost or something. It's something crazy about him. But
he's too deep in his head. He needs to let the ball come to him. Don't worry about it. He overthinks. You know.
What I mean? Like, that's what it looks
like. It's
like
the person saying, "Oh, it's like if I'm walking a tire. You know, if I'm riding a bike with no hands, I'm not gonna fall. I'm not gonna fall. Or like a unicycle, you tell yourself you're not gonna fall. And what happens? You fall anyway. That's what he's. Exactly. I was like, I'm not gonna miss. Boom, and he misses.
Yeah, and then he fumbles every. Yeah, he's a head
case. But you know
what's
crazy about McNeil? You know what drives me about Jeff McNeil? He always comes up in the biggest situations, and he always fails, and that's what drives me crazy. And it's just like, how many more chances are you gonna get?
Yeah, but recently, like today, look, today he won the game for us. You know what I'm saying? Which is crazy. I don't know. He's a weird case.
He's inconsistent.
Yeah, he is. But this is the problem with McNeil too. Like, all right, so. You're playing him in every position. Like, he's playing left, he's playing center. He can obviously play right, but he's not going to play right because Soto's there, right? But he's taking time from everybody's, you know, development. That's the younger players, especially. This is how I feel. I feel like, all right, if you play him on second, look, Acuna has to go down. I think that was the biggest mistake the Mets ever made this year. And that's going to be the one that we're going to be talking about over the, you know, the offseason because... I think they truly messed up his development.
Yeah, I see. Acuna is one of those guys where you have to just lead him up. You gotta leave him up here and let him figure out the problems up here.
Because, yes, sir. He's electric.
He's the future. Well, he's the future too. You know,
that too.
You can get away with doing that with Mauricio or Beatty. You know, I'm just those are two guys, or even McNeil. You can kind of.
I mean, they
McNeil,
did it to Beatty too.
Long time.
Yeah, McNeil. That's not the problem with McNeil. McNeil, I think he's done. I think that, you know, he's having little moments here, you know, where everything is clicking. But for the most part, I think he's done with the Mets. I think he's also, you know, messing with this problem that we have with the development of the younger players. He's taking time away from them. And there's no consistency. You know, you have to understand that. Like, if you have a Acuna on second base, leave him there. Let him learn that, you know, position really well. Make sure that he's running every time he gets the base hit and stretching that play and making it a double, you know, because he has the legs for it. So you have to develop that. You have to make sure that he understands that he's supposed to be a threat when it comes to situations like that. You want to worry about Acuna if he's on second, you know what I'm saying? And you're down by one. That opposing team is going to say, we have to be really careful with this play. We have to think about the person in the batter's box. We also have to think about the guy that's on second that can easily get the third in a blink of an eye. These are the things that, you know, I was hoping Acuna would be able to produce for the Mets this year, but unfortunately,
So that's not the reason why they send him down. They send him down because his bat, and they're relying on his bat.
Yeah, I know, but you can't rely on somebody's bat. Yeah, but the thing is, yeah, but explain to me why he's not playing every day. Obviously, his bat is, you know, is going to decline. You know, he's not, you can't play him on a Monday and then,
Sit him on Wednesday.
You know, and then say, you know, I want you to come over here and get two hits for me. It doesn't work that way, you know. It's a lot of stress for him, man. They did it to Beatty as well, you know, saying, I don't like Beatty, you know, number one. I'm not saying he's not a cool dude. It's not about that. I just feel like he doesn't fit, you know. And I like Vientos, but they did it to Vientos too. Look what happened to Vientos. Okay, Vientos was platooning with Beatty at third. And for a lot of time, Beatty was there when Vientos was sitting on the bench. That makes no sense to me. If Vientos won the job last year, let him keep his position. You're not doing that to Soto. You're not doing that to, you know, like, I don't understand. And, all right, if you want McNeil to get at bats, DH him. You don't have a true DH, so DH him. There you go. You're getting at bats. You know what I'm saying? If you want to make him a situational player, you want to say, all right, Tyrone, we gave you a shot today. We gave you two at bats, and you didn't produce a hit. So, all right, for the second half of the game, we're putting McNeil over there. You know, we can do stuff like that off the bench. We don't have to, you know, give him a position where a player can benefit from. I don't understand that, but whatever. Next year, things will be better. Now, I'm already thinking about next year, too, because I feel like we're not going to be able to compete doing these silly things.
You know who's been the one guy that keeps coming to mind that has really fallen off the cliff in a fast pace is McGill, man. He was...
Oh, man.
Came out guns blazing, man. And I just... Him and Canning, and I like Canning. You know, I've always told you, Canning is my favorite pitcher on the Mets. But he's falling off the cliff, but not as bad as McGill. He's not reliable anymore. Like, what happened?
That's it. I mean, but he's not. That's it. He's hurt. So
he's inconsistent. But now he's hurt. But maybe that was a blessing.
But maybe he was hurt. You know, for because remember it was like four starts in a row. Yeah, for the because he was electric, and then four starts later, like he fell apart, and it happened week after week. He lost control. He did. But then Canning, look what happened to Canning, Achilles. That's it. Done for the season.
Oh, he's done for the season?
Yeah, Achilles, bro. He pitched the other day. He moved to the side, to the left of the mound, and he fell apart. He fell, and then apparently he ruptured his Achilles. Done. Man. Yo, we have seriously, you know, a lot of bad luck. Yo, I don't understand what's going on right now. Where the bullpen was destroyed, you know, I don't know who to blame for that. I mean, we couldn't pitch more than five innings, you know. Look, this is the first. It's funny because Peterson has become, you know, the workhorse. He throws a complete game the other day. He, you know, he's the only guy going over six innings, which is crazy, man. Like, nobody else is doing it. That's the first. Yo, he did it, and it's now we're trying to figure out what else are we gonna do. Sean has to come back. Blackburn got hurt as well. We have Manaya, Sean coming back, and hopefully he hasn't pitched this year. Senga's supposed to be coming back all in the next 9 days. Montas is going to pitch tomorrow. Montas came back.
I was going to say, you know what surprised me about the bullpen is that they're not tagged. They're not overworked, because the first 2 months, the starting rotation has done a good job as far as pitching deep. So how can the bullpen be taxed? You know what I mean? Like, burnt out already.
Yeah, because the starting rotation couldn't pitch more than six innings. And we were, you know, pressed, and we had to, you know, figure it out. But this is crazy. I don't understand what happened. Last year, we didn't have these problems. Last year, our starters were going seven innings with no problem, and the bullpen wasn't as taxed as it is now. I mean, especially for the second half, we're going to have to figure that out. You know, this is a serious problem for Stearns right now. He has to figure that bullpen situation out, because if we don't have a bullpen, then we're not going to win anything.
But you're going to have to trade for bullpen.
Yeah, we're going to have to trade for bullpen.
And maybe trade for a starter.
Unfortunately, I think you're right about that as well.
Because now you lost, you say you lost Canning, right? You said?
Yeah, he's gone. Okay, we lost Canning, we lost McGill.
McGill's out for a while.
Yeah, but it's supposed to get better after the next two series, I believe. Like, you know, they said 9 days. We'll get Senga back, Blackburn, and we'll get Sean on as well. So now, that's three plus Peterson, and then we're going to have to figure out who the fifth is going to be. Holmes.
Up.
No, I mean, we still have Holmes there, but we still have Holmes.
Holmes has been the best pitcher in that rotation so far. He's had one really bad mishap, but other than that, he's been okay.
I mean, declining as well, though. Like, It's everything at the same time, which is crazy. That's why we're so hurt, man. June was a horrible month for the Mets.
But it's okay. You'd rather have this happen now than September.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that
worries out now.
I don't even understand. We got lucky because Philly got swept, and if it wasn't for that, we would have really been under. But whatever. Listen, let's see what happens, man. You know, the questions, everybody's asking, what's wrong with the Mets? What's wrong with the Mets? I don't even know where to start or where to end, bro. That's how bad it is, all right? You know, our ERA right now, 6.22, bro. When we had the best ERA in baseball at 2.79, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you know this shit is crazy. And, you know, since June 13th, man, the Twins and the Mets are tied, you know, the worst record in baseball, you know?
That's crazy about the Twins because the Twins went on that, like, 13-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? The Mets never had a big winning streak, did they?
No. Yeah, we had six, seven.
Okay. But, the Twins are on fire. I was like, 13. And then now they're just back to being poopy.
Yeah. Listen, but I don't want to be in that company. But look, the rivals across town, too, you know, they fell apart in, you know, top five worst teams, right? And from June 13th coming over this way, the Twins, the Mets, all right? The White Sox. The Guardians and the Yankees. This is how crazy it is. You know what I'm saying? You know, the Yankees just finished getting swept. Four-game series. Not a three-game series. A four-game series against Toronto. And they lost the lead in the division. Mets. You know, like, it's pretty crazy. They lost, what, five in a row? Yeah.
Yeah. But you know why they're losing? It's not because they're pitching. It's not because they're offense. It's their fielding. They are horrible defensively. You saw plays where Volpe in the Toronto game just lackadaisical throw to the guy at third, and the guy couldn't get to it. The guy, it's just poor defense. And they've had those. See, no one has noticed this because they've had those issues for a long time. But you won't believe it because, hey, they went to the World Series. What are you talking about?
No, this is crazy.
And it showed in the World Series, and it's happening now. That's why they're losing. You know, besides Max Fried and all these other guys, the pitching is okay. But, you know, you give up a couple. If you have, like, more than four errors in a game, you're going to lose the game. I don't care how good you are.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know? I mean, like, this is the one thing that I can't accept, you know. Like, those guys get paid so much money. And listen, I understand, man. I played, you know, and I'm not a professional, and it's not easy. You know, when you see something coming hot and you got to snag that ball, it's very hard. You have to be so fast, you know, and the ball is coming at 100 miles an hour, you know. So, like, you know, it's serious, and hitting is hard. I mean, the game is one of the most difficult sports to play. Listen, I understand, but you get paid a lot of money, and all you do is play baseball, you know. Like, you have to focus, bro. Can't be making errors like that because that really costs, you know. Imagine in a World Series, like, what happened? That's what it is, you know. I mean, whatever, they weren't gonna beat the Dodgers anyway. But listen, I don't know. I think that we're not gonna be able to compete like this. That's all I can tell you. And I feel like the season is over as we speak.
Well, the problem is all right, yeah, Soto's starting to get hot,
yeah, when the team sucks.
Lindor is still not really getting hot, you know. He's you know, like, you know, he's like, he's warming up, you know, like when you you know, when you're like boiling water for tea, you know, like the beginning stages, it's you touch it, you can still stick your finger in there, it's not gonna burn you.
No, but
that's what he's at right now, you know.
No, but
you
it's
want him to be sizzling hot.
No, but it's the opposite of what happened last year. He came in late, right? Didn't earn himself a slot in the All-Star game, right? Because
That kind of motivated him to do better.
You know, exactly. So now this year, he starts off hot, and now he's back to, like, what he does to us in the beginning of the season every year. Doesn't make any sense.
He always starts out cold.
Cold.
It's just the way he is.
But, you know, something that, you know, I read today, which I completely forgot about. Remember, he broke his toe not too long ago. And after that, that's when we had the serious decline. So
recently he broke his toe?
Yeah, he broke his toe on June 4th, bro. He got hit by a pitch on June 4th. He broke his toe. I mean, it does, because it's
foot.
Exactly. That makes a huge difference, you know. So now he's struggling with offense.
Steps with, you know what I mean?
Forget about it.
If you're a lefty or righty, what is he? A lefty or righty?
He's a switch.
Okay, so it depends on whatever side. So I'm sure because he's a switch hitter, it's a plus because now he can lead off with the foot that's not injured. So
yeah,
if it's
depending on the pitching that day.
Yeah. But even if it depends on who the pitcher is, if a lefty's coming in and his left foot is hurt, he might just still swing righty just because.
Nah, he won't do it. He won't do it. I've never seen him do it. No, he won't do it. Oh, wow. I know, it's crazy.
I don't know, man. It's hard to believe. I don't know. You don't realize it's hard to believe a toe, but if it's,
yeah, of course,
you know, it makes but a huge sense. Big toe makes a big difference because you're not a lot of, you know,
to put a lot of pressure on it, you know.
Yeah, so because a lot of your weight, you know, when you hit the ball, a lot of your momentum comes from your hips and your weight.
Exactly.
And what do you use that? It's your feet used to plant.
Plant.
So you can use your force to twist yourself. You
exactly.
Know? It's kind of hard to explain when you know.
No. Yeah, of course. I'm a golfer. It's the same thing.
What we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Our fans understand. I understand. Any golfer understands. Same
type
of mechanics.
That's why Mitch Judge amazingly great because he has such great. And same thing with Soto and Alonso. Those three guys, they have bigger body. They have more upper body strength. So they don't have to use their feet as much. So to drive the ball, where someone like Lindor. He's not a big dude. He's what, 5'9", 5'10", maybe 6'?
It goes back to the same thing we were talking about, Griffey.
He needs to use his...
Exactly.
Yeah. Ken Griffey, same thing. You know,
same thing.
And then Cal Ripken. Cal Ripken wasn't a big dude.
Exactly.
You know, back in the 90s and the 2000s, they were, you know, Barry Bonds was one of the rare few. David Ortiz, one of the rare few.
Yeah.
Where they were just big.
No, but they were fat. They were fat, though. Ortiz is a big dude.
Yeah, same thing with Sosa and McGuire. They had upper body strength.
Yes,
you know?
I agree.
So they didn't have to use their legs. That's why they teach these kids, these hitters nowadays, these kids, use your legs. It's just like EMS. We always tell people, when you lift somebody, use your legs, because you don't want to compromise something else. Same thing with baseball. You have to use your legs if you're not a big, upper body strength guy, because, you know, that's how you drive the ball, you know?
100%
motion.
I agree.
I don't know. Lindor, I'm not going to give up on Lindor. He's going to wake up.
Now, I hope so.
The question, the problem is, it's starting to be hot in New York, and it was like 90 plus today.
Yes, sir.
So you can't
Super
use an
hot.
Excuse. Well, it's not warm yet. You know, it's not like Atlanta where it's already 90 in April, you know, or May for that matter.
But listen, I don't
know.
Listen.
Happen, you know?
I don't know. They're doing so much right now to try to figure out what's wrong. They're juggling the lineup. He was removed from his first, you know, the first slot
lead
in the
off.
Lineup
yeah.
from leadoff.
Lead
he went 191 consecutive starts at the top of the lineup and recently, and he started hitting, you know, whatever. Yeah. And you know what? You know, there's the one thing I do love about the guy. He's, you know, he said, listen, I'll do whatever it takes to win. You know, he's a team player. He's not going to be a Devers, you know what I'm saying? But, man, listen. I hope it works out for them. I hope they can figure it out. They're still really close to the division, you know, lead. They're right there. We just lost it.
Well, Philly lost today. So that's
yes, they did.
You're now half a game behind.
Yeah, right now we're half a game out. Yeah, that's it.
So
we won three in a row.
Sweep the Yankees.
Oh,
Philly
man.
Loses, you're back in the lead.
Back in the lead. I mean, but we're going to have to fight Philly the whole way through. Listen, I'm glad that the National League East is actually showing up and saying, you know what? Fuck the Yankees.
We're not going to make it easy. Yeah.
Exactly. Fuck the Yankees. But the Yankees have had it rough. You know, listen, the same thing that happened to us is happening over there.
Well,
so
the offense is not producing.
Yeah.
You know, the crazy part is the only guy that's producing is the guy they've been writing off all season is Giancarlo Stanton. He's been doing great for them. He's the only guy that's been producing. And, you know, he's known to not produce in the regular season.
The whole season.
In the regular season.
In the postseason. It's true. It's crazy. You see, but the same thing. It's like there's something going on all over baseball. You know, the Javi Baez, the Giancarlo Stanton, the Jacob DeGrom. You know, saying, look what's happening. All these guys that were washed
Labor
up.
Torres in Detroit.
You know?
Look at him. He's going to be an all-star.
Yeah, look at
he's
that.
Gonna
it's just
first,
great.
You know, he's going to get the first first digs. Or he's gonna. I think he might be a starter for Detroit. You know, it's crazy. He was
that's
washed
crazy.
Up in New York.
Yo,
you know?
How crazy is this? A lot of guys have like just, you know, turned a new leaf. It's kind of crazy. They decided to earn their money and become superstars overnight. It's just crazy. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, it's super weird. So
but
the,
for
Mets,
the Mets,
man. Yeah, I don't know.
It's just the other thing that's frustrating for the Mets. Because the thing is, I'll be honest with you, you know the offense is going to wake up eventually. You know what I mean? The problem is,
I don't know.
Do you know if the pitching, my concern with pitching is, can the pitching get back to what they were in April? Or has the league finally figured them out? You know what I mean? That's the question. Because if Channing,
there was a decline.
McGilk is back to where they were. I have to say, for the most part, Holmes is the only one that's been leveled. Like, he stayed at the same pace. Yeah, he's had, like, good, you know, but he hasn't had significant drop-off in the starts, where McGill and Canning have. But now we find out maybe the inning is what caused, you know, the injury is what caused Canning to have a massive decline, you know.
I don't know. The injuries tell, yeah.
Peterson has been inconsistent, you know, too.
No, no, I think he's been saving us lately. He's been,
you
know, complete game. Everything. He's been doing everything right now. You know, he's our savior right now. Because if it wasn't for him, at least we can, you know, count on him every 5 days and say, all right, Peterson's pitching today. He's going to give us his all. We have that from him. We have that from him. He's at a level in his career where it's like, all right, he understands what the job is and he's actually pulling it off.
You know who's a concern for me in the Mets bullpen? You might disagree, but I noticed in the Atlanta series, it was the Brazelbon, the eighth inning guy.
Oh, yeah. Exploded. No, it exploded.
He's
that's
shaky
why.
Shaky like a leaf.
Over, nah, but listen, you left him in the oven too long. You know what I'm saying? You can't. Yo, listen, every time I looked over, Brazelbon is pitching. Every time what the fuck? Brazelbon is pitching. And then, of course, man, they got to him. They got to Stanek, too.
Yep. The game I'm thinking of, it was 2 weeks ago in Atlanta. It was the first game of the series. It was the eighth inning. The Mets were up 4-1. They should have pulled him after he allowed that first base hit or whatever it was. And I don't remember the sequence of the inning, but they didn't pull him and they left him in, like you said, way too long. And then Atlanta exploited him. And ever since, it's just like,
yeah.
I don't know what you're going to do because, you know, at the same time, you don't want to. What are you going to have? Diaz come in for a six inning out, you know, or five innings?
Five
outs.
That's
too much, you know?
That's actually a lot, bro.
Yeah, for eight. Because it was a lot. That's a lot. Happened. You know,
I don't get it. I really don't understand. Listen, I'm glad that the Yankees are having problems too, because nobody's really talking. Everybody's sad around town. You know what I'm saying? So it's very gloomy. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. The city's pretty crazy. Nobody's yelling at anybody. Nobody's saying, your teammate shit. Yeah, there's none of that shit going on right now in the city. It's very weird. It's like the season is over already, you know? So, you know what I'm saying?
But see, you know what I was thinking of too? Between the two teams, the team that can least afford to slip up are the Mets. Because the Yankees can get away with it because they're such in a horrible division. The whole American League is trash. Let's be honest.
Nah, not at this point. Not as we speak. Not
there's
as
like
we
one
speak.
Or two good teams. Detroit's the best
talking
team
about,
in that division.
Oh, you're talking about the, I thought you meant the National. No, I thought you meant the American League East. Oh, okay.
No, in general, the only team that's going to give them challenge, in my opinion, is Detroit consistent? You know, Toronto's getting hot, blah, 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 blah. But for the most part,
listen, don't hate. Don't hate on the
Mets cannot afford to slip. No, I'm just being honest with you. Mets are the team that cannot afford to slip. The Yankees can get away with it, in my
opinion. I feel like the Yankees, I think it's the opposite. You know why I say that? Because, all right, you have Toronto, right? That's right there. They're getting hot. And then you have these guys. They're getting hot as well, right? So, and Boston, forget about Boston. Boston is done. But in this division that the Yankees are in, it's not easy for them anymore, right? Because you got Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is getting hot as well. So it's going to be harder for them. There's three teams competing for that slot. And in my division, the Phillies are the only team giving us problems. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, I think that that's a super weak division. Look at it. You got Miami at 10.5. They're not going to win anywhere. Atlanta at 11. And Washington at 14. It's a two-man race. The National League East has two men running for the gold, right? And then in the American League East, you have three guys. So I think it's harder for the Yankees. If the Yankees don't make the playoffs, I'm going to fucking love it, even if the Mets don't make it.
Dude, the Yankee fans, oh my gosh. You know, because I listen to a lot of the sports talk, and, you know, it's funny to listen to Yankee fans. One thing I noticed about the Mets compared to Yankees fans, is Mets fans don't complain until they really have a good reason to complain. Yankee fans, they complain about the color of the sky the night they play. They complain about every little thing. And then they want to fire the coach, blah, 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 blah. But it's funny because they always, you know, they call and they're like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? And I'm like, yeah, I have no clue how good you have it. Every year you're in the playoffs. Every year your team is above 500. Y'all complain about the dumbest thing. That's what I hate Yankee fans.
I mean, that's what they do, man. That's what they do. But it's okay. Let's talk about you guys, right? So, for some reason, you know, you guys played really well in June.
They They had a good June. They went 16-11.
Yeah, I love it. But since the 12th, right, of June coming over this way, you guys are 10-10. I mean, you won tonight, so 11-10. 11-10. One game since the 12th of June.
June 12th, okay.
Yeah.
So they're about 500.
Mm-hmm. What about 500? What about 500? You know what I'm saying? Listen, you guys, you know, Texas is a tough out now, you know. The Grom, you know.
The Grom is amazing.
I know. What crazy. Yo, five stars, five straight.
Grom's going to win the Cy Young.
Man, listen, if that happens, listen. Yo, last five, yo, starts, he won them shit. It's pretty crazy. He's doing his thing, man. I'm proud of him. I'm happy for him. But you know what? We made the right decision when we let him go. It was the right decision. Because look how long it took him to actually be able to perform for Texas. This happened. We got rid of this guy a while ago. This is the first year that he's actually been productive since then.
Well, it's been, what, 3.5 years, 2 years since you traded him?
Something crazy like that. I can't remember.
But his first year with the, Texas, he didn't play because he had a...
I know. Yeah, he was still hurt.
Around his elbow or something like that.
Something crazy. He didn't play. He didn't play. You know, little spotty starts here and there, you know. But whatever, you know. Hats off to him, definitely. You know, he never quit on himself. He figured it out. Now,
so looking at Baltimore.
Yeah, it's a good Baltimore.
What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say that Baltimore did well, and then, you know, you start the month off in a, you know, in a bad way. But you won today. Listen, you beat the Braves, which is funny because we have to talk about this because, all right, you understand this guy, you know, this guy can't make up his mind. He has two baseball teams, all right? We all get on him about it.
That's
right. We understand he moved to Atlanta, but that doesn't mean shit, bro. I don't care if I fucking move to the moon and the fucking moon has five teams. I'm still a Mets fan, all right? That's it, you know? Yeah, but I'll go to a couple of games. Yeah, you didn't have to become an Atlanta fan. You can go to a couple of games and watch baseball, be a baseball fan. But, you know, you left New York, Jersey, whatever, you know what I'm saying? And your dad is a Yankee fan, and you became a Baltimore Orioles fan. Then you go to Atlanta, and all of a sudden, you're an Atlanta fan as well. You know what I'm saying? So now you have two baseball teams. They both played each other today on July 4th. And where did you go? To fucking work.
That's right.
Listen. That's right. Now, I don't want to hear that. Because you were supposed to be at that game and say, wow, I'm actually watching my two favorite baseball teams, which is... You know, I'm not going to... It's silly to me. I think it's crazy because, you know, you can't have two baseball teams. I'm sorry, bro. That's why when I see a guy wearing a stupid Mets / Yankees hat, it pisses me off. You can't be a fan of both, bro. What are you doing, bro? No.
Yeah. No, I...
You went to work.
Yeah, so during this month of June, they had a really good start because they went to Seattle, swept Seattle. That was a good start. Then they lost 2-3 to Atlanta, to the Athletics. Then they lost 2-3 to Detroit, which is expected because Detroit's bad. Then they were looking good. They swept the Angels, and they did. And they've been had a really good season so far against Tampa Bay. They played Tampa Bay pretty well. They split this. They won the series in Tampa, split the series back in Baltimore, and then the stupid Yankees. They should have won the series against the Yankees, but the last game of the series, which was Father's Day, Dean Kramer had an amazing game, 2-1, and then they took him out, and the bullpen pooped the bed, and then just fielding errors cost them the game. And you know me, if there's any team I hate losing to, it's the Yankees. It's just like the way you hate losing to the Braves.
Of course.
Well, they drive me nuts because they're the evil empire, the Yankees, in the American League East. They're always good. They always poop on us. We're like a doormat to them. We can never beat them. It drives me crazy. And any chance you have to take 2-3 from them, trust me, that's like to me, that's more important than winning the World Series. You know, when your team that's
exactly what I just said.
For the World Series.
Well, I said that. I said, listen, if the Mets don't make the playoffs and Toronto or Tampa Bay happen to take the division, listen, I'm going to be very happy about that. All right? Let's move on. Let's, you know, breathe a little. We're having horrible seasons. This is not what we expected. If anything, man, I was praying for a Baltimore Orioles, New York Mets World Series. And that was possible at the beginning of the season. I mean, you know, you didn't have any pitching. But I didn't think you guys were going to play that bad. But we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the All-Star game because it's coming up. You know, the silly little All-Star game that means nothing to no one, that costs thousands and thousands of dollars for the package to go there. It's going to be played at Truist Park this year, which you're not going to be going to because that would be
insane.
It's freaking
like $900 to go.
Yeah, exactly. No, why would you pay that exactly? You know, when you can watch all this shit on TV, you know? But listen.
But the all, yeah.
You know, like, listen, you can watch it on TV. It's okay, though. Derby, all that. You can watch all that. You know, it's okay. It's not something that I look forward to. I don't really care for the All-Star game. You know what's funny? Back in the day, not too long ago, when they decided to make it, you know, home field advantage for the World Series, I was like, all right, that I can work with. Because now they're playing for something. It's a little different. I know a lot of people frowned on it, but I kind of liked it. I was like, okay, now this game means something. But let's talk about.
They still do that. It's still
no.
Still
nah,
do
they don't. They don't. Nah, they don't do that anymore.
Really? The reason why I like it because it's the only All-Star game where you actually play the game. It's not like basketball. We just chuck up 7,000 threes.
Or, I mean, it's different.
Know,
it's a different sport.
Just you know, lollygag and or football, the Pro Bowl, which is a joke. I don't like All-Star games. They're stupid. But yeah, baseball is the only closest sport they actually have to play a game. You can't just lollygag. You know, we
can lob a pitch.
Softball. Yeah.
Yeah. You it's know, not a softball game.
Yeah, you can't just you know slowly throw the ball to first base. Like no,
it's if anything, it's harder because you know you got you know top tier you know rotational guys that are coming in
and
every
these
two
guys
innings.
Are trying.
Yeah, they're coming in every two innings. So you're talking about fresh arms every 2 seconds. You know they throw in gas and you're like, what the fuck? I can't hit this shit. That's why I say that you know that old
it's
school way. That you know
game.
It's the you know. But check this out. You got Will Smith, right? Dodgers, catching. That's the guy that's going to start the game. You got Mr. Freddie Freeman, another Dodger, which, you know, listen, he deserves it. He's hitting like a maniac. He's hitting for average. He's crazy. You got Ketel Marte, Arizona Diamondbacks, right? This is off the top of my head. I know all these guys. So he's playing second base. Then you have, you know, Francisco Lindor. He finally makes the cut, right? He's playing shortstop. And this is a weird one here. We got Manny Machado playing third base. Another guy that's kind of like, you know, decided to play baseball now. You know, I don't know. This is crazy. And Shohei Ohtani's going to be DHing, which is fucking retarded. And then Acuna is going to be playing outfield. BCA is going to be playing center. And Kyle Tucker is going to be playing what, left, right?
For the White Sox, Cubs, yeah.
Yeah, right? And boom. And then we got Kyle Raleigh, obviously, you know, doing everything right.
He's the catcher.
He's the catcher. Vladimir, who, you know, after he got paid, decided that he wanted to still and continue to play baseball, unlike Soto and them.
Is he
going to
be a DH or this?
Nah, he's first baseman. Here's an interesting one. Gleyber Torres is playing second base. How crazy is that?
Exactly.
Jacob Wilson. I'm sorry, brother. I don't know who
you
are.
What team is he on?
I just said that. I have no idea. You know what? Whatever. We'll look him up and we'll you know we'll discuss Jacob next week. You know, see what he's doing to deserve that slot. Jose Ramirez is playing third base. We know what he does all the time.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's great. And then, you know, DHing is going to be Ryan O'Hearn.
The only Oriole.
Right? Which is crazy. And now here comes the funny shit again. Javi Baez made the cut. All right?
Oh, Mets fans.
Man.
The way
can you imagine?
The Yankee fans hate Gleyber Torres is the way the Mets fans hate
Javi Baez. Exactly.
He started that thumbs down nonsense with the fans
yeah.
and all that.
No, but just imagine. That he would have came to the Mets and he would have been hitting the way he's hitting now. And we would have had him, Lindor, Soto, Alonso. Wow. You know? Yeah. Time out. Let's make it even better. Imagine if we would have never got rid of Pecro Armstrong and had him at center as well. Wow.
Yeah, we would have had Javier Baez.
That is true. So it's one or the other. How crazy is that, right?
We could have got him a different way.
We could have got him a different way. We didn't have
to. They got him because they were in the playoff contention and they needed him. That's why.
Yes. They were trying to build a spark. I understand
that. Was Buck Showalter's first year in New York. Remember?
Yeah, they were trying to build a spark. Yeah. I mean, listen, we could have got Javi Baez a different way, kept Crow Armstrong. We didn't know these guys were going to end up doing that shit. this year, you know what I'm saying? But imagine if we would have had those two pieces on top of, especially with what they're doing now. That's what I meant. Not just to have them, but to have that, you know, offense on our team right now with what's happening, you know? Who knows? But, yeah, you know, this is going to be an interesting All-Star game. For those that like it, enjoy. I'll watch the Derby. I'll watch the Derby, and then I'll call it quits there, I think.
Oh, I'll be watching the game. I don't care. I like it. All-Star game.
I'm not going to watch it. And then, okay, so I don't know if we discussed it. No, we didn't discuss it. I was talking to my dad. So the Pirates, you know, for some reason, you know, they won six in a row. They swept the Mets. Yeah, we discussed it. But the thing about these, and they swept the Cards. They swept the Cards so bad, bro.
That was the amazing part.
Yeah, that was the amazing part. They shut them out 3 days in a row. The Cards never scored.
Not even one run in a three-game series?
Exactly. That was it wasn't just a regular sweep. These guys didn't score at all. And the last time that happened was October 2nd to the 3rd in 1976, bro. I was born. I was 3 months old. They did it to the same team, the Cardinals. The Pirates smoked them for three games straight, and they did not score.
And that's crazy because Pirates can't score if you look at their run differential, it's
oh my God. Right now.
They can't score to save a
I know. Yo, come on, man. You know how many runs they scored against the Mets? They scored over 30 runs against the Mets, bro.
It was 30-4.
So yeah. Like yeah. 30-4.
Actually, Pittsburgh's run differential is only -35. I thought it'd be worse. But
okay, still, I thought it would be worse too.
They've only scored 310 runs. So
yeah, but well, they scored the majority of those against the Mets.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, that's just crazy. But we'll get into the point of this is funny how this is set up because you pick these guys every week. I don't pick them. So
yeah.
For the head of the week, you pick Soto, right? Soto went 2-for-4 on the 25th against Atlanta. And two RBIs, two runs. That was in Atlanta? Yeah.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Yeah, it was in New York. Yeah, yeah. 7-3. Yeah, because that was the split series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had
a... he got hot for Juke. He got hot. He did crazy shit for Juke. 10 home runs.
Didn't he have another two-hit home run game recently? Like a couple
Yeah, he did. And you know what's funny? That you got, for the pitcher of the week, you have DeGrom, you know what I'm saying?
Your boy.
Seven innings. One hit, bro. Seven strikeouts. That's your boys on the same day.
I was so mad. I was like, you got to be kidding me. He would have had a perfect game, but then he gave up that hit. He would have had a no-hitter. I mean, not a perfect game. He would have had a no-hitter, but he gave up
and going into the seventh, but pulled him out. But check this out. That was a smart move because you know what? Look, he continues to rock on.
Yeah, and then we played him again the next week, this past week in Texas, and he gave up two runs and had a monster game, but whatever.
He's just doing it, bro. Now, the question of the week. So, the all-time Subway Series record, I want you to tell me what you think it is. I'll tell you how many games they played. They played 122 games prior to today's game. So, 122 games. And I want you to tell me what the splits are. So, who won more games than the other?
Well, I'm just playing probably the Yankees in the early. Just going based off the early 2000s. The Yankees were that's when the Yankees were prime dominant.
Yes, sir.
So between, I would say, in that series, I'd say the Yankees probably have about between 70 wins and 80 wins. About 70.
Okay, damn, bro. 71 and
51.
Out of the 122. Out of the 122, 71 wins for the Yankees, 51 really? For the Mets.
Bro,
yeah,
I
was great.
I guess off the top of my head.
Yeah, that was impressive. Great. That's
I
impressive.
Was just going based off of the early 2000s.
No, it was a good guess.
Because the late 2000s, the past the 2010s, the last five years, the Mets have
been better. Yeah, it's
you
true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Subway Series started in 97. So you were right because you said early 2000s.
97?
That's when it first started. Yeah, it's been a while, bro. A lot of games.
Yeah, but I was.
It's a lot of, and it's funny. Yeah, think about it. It's a lot of games because last year they only played 4 games, you know? So when you tally it up, 123 games with today's game, 123, matches, which is crazy, right? And the first game ever, we won the game 6-0, right? Dave Malicki was pitching.
You know what I think needs to do with the schedule? All right, you want to do this interleague series nonsense? I think rivalry teams should have to play each other at least 10 times or 8 times at best.
Man, that's a lot. That's a lot.
No, but that way...
I like this new way.
No, because that way you say, well, you know, why am I going to Pittsburgh and then go back home and then go play somebody else and I've only seen Pittsburgh one time the whole time? It's stupid. You play the teams because that's more relevant. If I got to see the Yankees and Mets 8 times in a year, that's going to be more exciting. That's more relevant than...
I like this format. I like when they play everybody. I like this new format. I like this new format because you get to see every single team. So that means that, you know what that means, which is pretty awesome, that the World Series, right, those teams get to see each other prior to getting there. Because back in the day, think about it, a lot of teams never really saw each other. Right, because you were playing. There was no interleague, right?
And Yankees
you were playing,
and Marlins, they didn't play each other.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? But every year, there's an actual matchup throughout the season where both contenders from the American League and the National League actually bump into each other. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's true.
And you never know when it's going to happen. I mean, you know, we know who the super teams are, but, you know, we don't really know who's going to, you know, make it to the World Series because we've seen wild card teams just come out of nowhere and destroy in the playoffs.
Like especially Texas and Arizona a couple years
exactly. ago. Exactly. The reason why is because they have the momentum, you know what I'm saying? Because they have to play more games in the playoffs to get to the World Series. So they build some sort of momentum and they just keep moving and they just start plowing through teams that were resting because, you know, the best team gets the rest. And I think that's a bad move on, you know. So, but you're not going to play it strategically either. You're not going to say, well, let me tank a couple of games so I can end up becoming a wild card. You're not going to do that either. You know, it's a blessing and a curse all in one.
Yeah, one thing I like about baseball this year is there's no clear favorite because every team has struggled. The Mets have struggled at one point.
The Dodgers, everybody.
Lost a couple. The Padres have fallen off the ground a little. Yes. Fallen off the, you know.
A little? I think let's go
they've
back.
They've fallen off a lot, you know.
A lot. You know what happened
Giants
to them?
Giants have been struggling, you know. And it's just, there's no dominant, like even, you know, there's no like, oh my gosh, you know for sure, like, you know how like in the NBA, you know for sure it's probably going to be, you know, Golden State most likely in the finals. Or like in hockey, you know for sure it's going to be Florida, you know, because they're just so good. You don't have that in baseball this year.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Remember, like, all season, the whole way, season 2 of this podcast, we've been talking about how the wild cards were going to definitely come out of the West. If you look at the West now, I don't think so. I don't know what's going to happen, but it looks like Milwaukee is going to be the team that's going to trump all that. Jay, you shake your head, you know, but listen.
Milwaukee reminds me of Toronto.
No, listen, they were there last year. They're consistent. No, Milwaukee, you know what? Milwaukee reminds me of the mid-2000s, like 2015, in that area somewhere where the... No, let's go back a little further back. Let's go back to like the early 2000s, right? When the Mets were, okay, they were decent, right? And you know who was always really good in those days? And they always made the playoffs without any problems? The St. Louis Cardinals.
I was just gonna say the Cardinals.
Yes. For some reason, those guys never failed. You could put your money on it, they would always make the playoffs and they would give you really good baseball. They had really good, decent teams back then. These are the teams that, you know, did well back then. And the Milwaukee Brewers remind me of that team. It's funny. Because, you know, they were there last year. Look what happened to them last year. The Mets, Pete Alonso took them out of the playoffs. That's the shit. They're gonna come back. They have a really good team. David Stearns kind of like set them up to succeed, you know? Now he's going to try to do this with this team, but let's see how long it's going to take to actually make it happen. Look what happened last year when he was scratching his head and he said, damn, man, I thought I put a good team together and I don't understand why this is happening. And then they clicked and they actually made it all the way to the postseason. But I don't think so. I don't think this is going to happen this year. He's going to have to keep tweaking it because it's not working. But
every time you talk about the Mets and Cardinals, I remember that game when they went 25 innings. Remember that game, Mets and Cardinals?
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it was is the 120. It was like in the early. I forgot what happened, but yeah, they played 20. I remember that game. When I was like a kid. It went 25 innings. Yeah, the game didn't end till like 3 a.m, dude. It took seven hours and 4 minutes.
That's crazy. Can you imagine the exhaustion at that point playing baseball for 7 hours?
And that's probably why they got the Rip Manfred man. But oh my gosh.
That's crazy. That's
like a 10. I'm like, yeah, but you don't remember that game? I'm trying to remember when that
was. And this has to be back in the day when there was no man on second. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine how hard it was to win a game?
I wasn't.
The innings?
Maybe I'm thinking of another game. I feel like there's two Mets Cardinals games where they played long. Anyway, this one was supposed to be in the September 11th, 1974. Cardinals 4, Mets 3, 25 innings.
Holy shit. That's crazy. Yeah,
I feel like there was another one.
I remember, wasn't there? Oh, there was in the Yankees and Boston go like 19 innings or some shit like that one time, or something crazy, 19 innings or something. I mean, you know, we'll look that up. We're gonna, that's a good subject to talk about next week as well. We'll talk about that. We're gonna look up Mr. What was his name, Wilson, whatever the hell his name was.
Oh yeah,
we're gonna look him up too. We have it here, you know, Mr. Jacob Wilson. We're going to look him up, see what the hell he's all about. We're going to talk about the fact that this season is over for us and we're going to have to pick winners and we're going to have to pick a team to ride coattails. You know, I'm a ride with, if the Mets can't do it, I don't know. I'm going to go with the Dodgers. I'm going to go with the underdog. We're going to see who I like. There's a lot of good teams. I mean, maybe Chicago. I like Chicago. I like Chicago. I don't know.
Oh, the Cubs?
If the Mets can't do it, I'll pick, maybe Chicago. I don't know. I'm going to have to pick a team that, I want to take it. I don't want the Dodgers to win. That's all that matters to me. I don't want the Yankees to win, and I don't want the Dodgers to win. Anything after that, I'm fine with.
If it's not going to be Atlanta, I like San Diego.
San Diego? Yeah, I like San Diego, but I don't think San Diego's going to be able to pull it off. San Diego got...
San Diego has what? It's just a high hurdle to cross.
I mean, because they have the Dodgers in the situation. That's what it is. It's like I'm a Raider fan, right? But then you got the Chiefs, right? We can never get over the Chiefs, bro. Like, it's impossible, bro. It's like the Patriots. Yeah. You know, if you're a Jeff fan, bro, when Brady was, throwing the ball, you had no chance, bro. It's the same thing, Think about it. It's just bad. Atlanta smoked us for 15 years in a row, bro. They took the division 15 years in a row. All right? When they get back to that form, forget about it. But we don't want the Dodgers to win. We don't want that.
I lost my train of thought what I was going to say. But anyway, I could have sworn there was another game in the early to mid-2000s where the Mets and Cardinals played a long game after, that one we just stated. But anyway, that's made me think of the Mets and Cardinals. Because Cardinals were in the Mets division at one time, right?
I believe so. Yeah, it was like a different setup. We'll bring that up as well. We'll look at the old way things were done. The divisions were set up a lot differently back then, and we're gonna talk about that as well. So now we got three different subjects for you to look forward to. Hope you enjoyed the episode, and have a good night.
Peace,
brother.
Later, guys.
Peace.